Good afternoon, how are you doing today?
Not too bad.
Oh, we're a little late, but we'll finally get into you, sir.
Yes, sir, we have everybody waiting.
Okay, we'll be ready whenever you pass the phone home, sir. Yes, sir. Is that you?
Who's that? I couldn't hear what you said.
Repeat that again, sir, what's your name?
William Conlon.
Yeah, William Conlon.
William Conlon.
I think that's what you're saying before.
Oh, it is. Okay, that's why I'm looking in the wrong stack. Just give me a moment.
Just hold on one moment, we'll be right with you, sir. I see somebody smiling because they see you, so they'll be right with you.
Now we know, okay. I was just looking in the wrong stack.
I don't know why the Tucson receiver is so muffled.
Yeah, it is.
I've been having that problem.
I'm hearing him when he said his name. Okay. Okay, Mr. Conlon.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, we're ready to get started. Thank you for that short delay. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a 412A, which is general parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge hearing. And you became eligible, or you will become eligible for this on September 10th of 2018. So whatever the board does today, that's when it'll take effect, is in September. I'd like to introduce the board members conducting the hearing with you. But before I do that, I'm just going to ask you one more time, for the record, this is being recorded, to state your name and your ABC number very clearly for us.
William Conlon, 067274.
Thank you, sir. All right, now I'll introduce the board members to you. If you look to your right on that video screen, all the way down at the end of the bench,
yes,
you see the Honorable Lou Quinones. Right next to him is the Honorable David Neal. Right next to me here is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. To my right here is the Honorable Michael Johnson, and my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be your panel chair today. All right, I'll just start here with a little summary. Mr. Conlon is 66 years old, and he's serving 15 years right now for the crime of aggravated assault. He's had two other sentences, armed robbery and kidnapping, each of those for 15 years, and those, he has been paroled from those. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so you... Go ahead.
Both of them is done on those.
Okay, all right. So the crime that you're imprisoned for occurred on January 7th of 1988. You were approximately 36 at the time, is that right? Okay.
36.
Okay, and you were convicted by jury trial on March 16th, 88, and sentenced on April 12th, 88. You did appeal that, and it was affirmed and upheld in November 17th of 1988. Let's see, a little bit about your background. It looks like you have a criminal history dating from, as near as we can tell, from 1974 in Ohio. There's a vehicle theft, a burglary, breaking and entering. Some of these might just be arrests. A DUI, another burglary, a robbery, and an assault in your criminal history. In prison, it looks like you have had four majors during your time there, but three of those appear to have occurred in 2016. The most recent discipline we have was from December of 16. That one was a minor for nuisance contraband. But before that, you had the three majors in 2016. Let me take a look and see. Do you remember what those were about, sir?
Yes, ma'am. I'm still trying to figure out how I even got those, because I was in a private prison and those tickets weren't even in DOC policy.
Well, I'll say disobeyed verbal order. That's the only clue we get here. We get them, one of them was September 7th, one the 15th, and one the 21st.
I can tell you one of those more about if you care to listen.
Sure, please. Please do.
That says you put up one of the ovens on SOPAC, and they said they're going to talk to me. And I said, well, okay. And they said, we have information on you. And I said, well, what information do you have? And they said, well, you know, we can't tell you that. And I said, well, you know, I can't tell you anything either. So they said, they want me to sign a day two investigation form and start giving them information on the order. And I says, hey, I'm sorry. I said, I'm not going to sign that. You know what I mean? I said, if you want to put me under a two-way investigation, I said, that's your problem, prerogative. I said, but I'm not going to help you. And I ended up behind that with three majors. I got my points raised from 11 to 7 to 29 to 22. And I went from 2 to 9 to Manzanito. And those tickets, I wasn't offered a chance to sign a waiver and go back out in the yard or anything.
Okay, well, we didn't really get, I don't think we got information about those tickets either, but...
Well, they told me that when I told them, I said, the lieutenant and the captain, I said, hey, these tickets aren't even in policy. And they said, this is a private prison and they do things different. And I asked them both at the time, I said, well, ain't that why you guys are here? Make sure they know the VOC policy.
Okay, sir. Let's just review a little bit more. It looks like, as you said earlier, you have been granted two different parole, two different times, to 412B, which is to a consecutive sentence. And that would have been the first one in 1999 and the second one in 08. And you'll be on those now. It looks like you've completed cultural diversity, conflict resolution, and some fire science classes. Anything else you can remember that you've taken while in prison?
Yes, I think it was either a MA or an AA class in right around 90, and I just took a business class in Kingman about a year and a half ago.
Okay. No, that just didn't make it in here. And for release plans, you indicate that you would stay with friends, and you are eligible. Well, at 66, you're eligible for Social Security, so that is a good thing. Okay. We don't have any letters from anyone, letters of support, but we have two friends here today to support you.
My family is on the top since I've been in here. My two friends are one of them I have left out there.
And that's good that you have them. That's a good thing.
My parents have died. My sisters have died.
Okay, sir. Sometimes that happens on these longer sentences. We haven't really talked about the crime itself, and I'm a little vague reading the information we have. Could you please tell us what happened that day? What happened?
Honestly, I don't really know. I have been dealing some drugs and doing a lot of drinking, and next thing I know, I woke up in jail. And I took my case to trial because there was all kinds of discrepancies on the police reports where, things have been changed and description of me, description of clothing, description of law. And I tried to answer the question you just asked myself for 30 years, and I honestly can't tell you.
Okay, you were found guilty by a jury, and then your appeal was affirmed, so you said you were under the influence of alcohol, was it, at the time, or what?
No, alcohol.
Oh, alcohol, too. Okay, and meth. Okay. And, in general, it was a Circle K robbery, is that true?
Well, that's what I was arrested for. I would like you to check, though, and you'll find out that it's not for lack of effort and I'm trying, but I have not had a dirty go away in 30 years.
Oh, I believe you with that, sir. I believe you. I'm going to look a little bit more here and see if I can see. There's just not very much information about the crime itself. Just take a quick look here. Yuma County, one count of armed robbery, one count of kidnapping with a deadly weapon, and one count of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. And the jury trial and your sentencing. Okay. Yeah, there's just not a lot about the crime itself here. Well, sir, what... I mean, people change, of course, over time, but what was the, in your frame of mind back then? What were you going through?
I just went through a divorce on last night's inaugurators, and I think I was a good husband. I worked two jobs for, you know, years, and I tried to give my family everything they're doing, and after my divorce, that was just... I mean, I didn't know what to do with myself. I had all this time that I, you know, I was hurting. You know, mentally, I was pretty upset over losing my two daughters.
Sure.
And, I just, you know, maybe I picked the wrong path.
Was anyone with you that day, or was this a crime? Just you. So it was just you.
Excuse me.
And was it with a gun, or what was the weapon?
Well, they said it was a gun, but like I said, I myself, ma'am, I can't really remember anything about that night. And believe me, I've asked myself that question that you asked me more than once, and you stayed awake at night staring at the wall, trying to answer it.
Did you own a gun?
My brother had several of them, but I didn't own one.
And what gun was used? Was it one of your brother's?
It was a hitman server was from the house. But there was a funny thing about that. I got a gun. Everything that this is one of the reasons I took my case to trial. Everything at the crime scene was fingerprinted, it's a fingerprint deal. I was in jail for 57 months, and this cop says, oh, I remember, he threw something on the store when they pulled him over. 57 minutes later, and they drove out to the scene of the crime, and there was a gun sitting there. And they didn't have a fingerprint.
Okay, and that would have been the weapon that was used in the crime?
Yes, ma'am. And I asked him, I said, when I was arrested that night, I asked him for a paraffin test to see if I had fired the weapon. They would have did it, and they would have not fingerprinted the gun when I asked him to.
So, sir, you maintain that you're innocent of this crime?
I maintain that I really don't know what happened here. I'm sorry, I was high for a long time, for days and days, actually weeks, and I was drinking a lot of bourbon and doing a lot of drugs, and I don't know, I'm just saying the reason I took my case to trial was there was enough stuff in there that made me really wonder that, you know, hey, we got the right guy here, you know?
Alright. Well, how have you changed, sir? What's different about you now than the way you were back then?
I'm definitely a lot more mellow, kind of a lot. But 30 years will do a lot to change your attitude.
Sure.
I am not looking for any kind of trouble. I just want to get out of here. I can do some craft work and put it on the internet for, you know, extra money that I'm legally allowed to make on Social Security. And actually, I just want to be left alone.
Okay. What kind of work did you do, sir? What was your profession?
I was a construction steel worker. I sandblasted and painted corn yards and bridges, and sandblasted and steel company buildings, working on all the scaffolds and boats and chairs.
Okay, wow, that's difficult. You have to not be afraid of heights, huh, to do that job.
That was definitely helpful.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Mr. Johnson, one question?
So there was something in the pre-sense report that says that, like gave some indication that it was your brother who committed this crime, not you. Do you recall anything about that?
No, sir.
All right, thank you, sir.
Mr. Quinones?
Pardon me, Ms. Rogoski asked this. I guess it's more of a curiosity. Mr. Cotton?
Yes, sir.
There's a former detainer out of Yuma County, and all, it has a case number that it says murder first. Were you accused of another crime that was dropped?
Yes, I was. I was arrested for that, and I was in Yuma, and when they started checking out a bunch of the information, they dropped charges on me. My lawyer told me that when he dropped charges, he said, I said, what happened here? And he said, truth is, he said, they don't have a case now, they never did have a case. The family is influential in the community and only wanted closure. That's been 23 years ago, and I haven't heard a word on that yet.
Thank you for your directness, sir. Thank you, Ms. Rogoski.
Thank you. Yeah, that, I see that was canceled in December of 94.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's right under the bridge. Any other questions for Mr. Conlon? Okay. All right. Mr. Conlon, I'm going to ask your supporters to come up if they have something they want to say at this time. So, okay, yeah, just come right up here and... And you can kind of bend that down if that's, well, that's probably just about right for you. Perfect. Just say your name for us.
Kathy Gray.
Okay, thank you. What would you like to tell the board?
We met him in 1997 in Perryvale. And all these years, we were put on his Disney list. We ran first to my son, and we met him when my son got out. He has been gentle, he's been kind, he's had problems with nobody, he doesn't get in trouble, he's been self-supporting all these years, he has kept busy with a job, with the little bit that he gets. He's had for a long time he had a bead craft where he designed his own jewelry, made exquisite jewelry and earring sets until finally they wouldn't have the beads anymore. And he's just been a real neat guy and an example of how to be. And it's been a joy to know him. And we trust him with our life. And we, since he has no family left, we said he's welcome to come to our house and be with us when he gets out. And he's been talking in his letters all the time about how he can be constructive in this and that to earn money. And he wants to be self-supporting. He don't want a lot of noise. And we had enough health problems, and we're dead quiet when we're home. And he would have peace and quiet, and we don't do anything exotic. I go to church, and he means we see a little bit of TV, but we live by the Bible, and he's in no danger at our house. We live in a 55-plus neighborhood up by Sun City, and we're out the main weekend, but he wants to be self-supporting, but it's been a joy to know him, and we really feel that 30 years should be enough now, because we have all his court papers, and he did not kill anybody, and he did not rob that store. The evidence that they had, after they picked him up, they took him back to the store. He stood at a distance from where the clerk was, and they said, is this the guy? And she, that was robbing the store, because when the cashier touched a certain bill, it started the camera moving, but it was only between his chin and his waist. And when he got to court, he walked in front of the door, and she says, identify him, and she says, I've never seen him in my life. And they never gave him a chance, but they just kind of threw the book at him, and he just waited the time out and kept busy, and we'd be pleased if he gets out.
So, ma'am, do you know all of this about the trial from, did you research it, or how did you come to know all that?
Well, we have all this paperwork.
Oh, you just found it all in the paperwork?
Mm-hmm. And we have it, and he's sure welcome then. We have room for him, and we consider him like family, and he considers us family.
Any questions for Ms. Gray? Mr. Johnson.
How did you get to Dunhill?
Well, first of all, my son was in Perryville, and we were introduced to him during visiting, and then when my son got out, we asked to be put on his list, and he wrote me a letter, and I answered my letters, and told him how I feel about some political issues and stuff, and he made me a really nice necklace and earring set, and out of beads. Anyways, when my son got out, we got put on his visiting list, and we were seeing him, and it's been such a joy to know him.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. My husband has something.
Okay, sure. Come
thank
right
you.
On up. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
If you like, you can pull a chair over there. Would that be better? Or?
I don't think
no.
Okay. This is all right.
Good. And please state your name, sir.
My name is Jerry Gray.
Jerry Gray. What would you like the board to know?
Bill has written two books. One of his experiences while he's been in prison for 30 years. I typed them all up. And the other one was of his heritage and being Irish. He's written about 20 or 30 articles, short articles of various various subjects, and I typed those up too. I put most of them on the internet. People did actually read them. Bill is very intelligent. Figure out numbers, multiply, divide, subtract in his head. It's just, I look forward to having him in our house because, for one thing, he could help me. And I know that I just know that he will be successful as far as criminal activities go. Those are absolutely impossible. They say drugs are everywhere. I don't know where they are, and I'm 76 years old. I've never had anything to do with drugs. Bill, I've been reading his record online from the ADC, and there's no indication whatsoever of drugs. And he's worked and earned a little bit of money. And he will work and earn a little bit of money when he gets out. Whether it's doing bee work or whatever. Anyway, that's what we wanted you guys to hear.
Okay, thank you, sir. Any questions for Mr. Gray? Okay, thank you, sir. Thanks for coming. Thanks for being so patient during the today. So.
Can I make a comment on that?
Okay, Mr. Conlon, yes, go ahead.
The books he wanted to buy are his son had service awards to Lululemon Publishing, and Lululemon Publishing said they wouldn't have a problem publishing his book if I didn't come up with $498 for a publishing fee. And I seriously wanted to write another one or two. The one I was most interested in was I wrote one on Celtic history. It goes back like 4,000 years. I want to get more into that name right there when I get out, and I'm thinking about writing one for that one that I thought.
Okay. So, Mr. Conlon, just a couple of follow-up questions from me, and then I'll see if my board members have any questions. It looks like there was a small amount of restitution owed in this case. Has that been paid?
When I was working for the Silver Industries, I paid $820 into that fund. And when I filed my income tax when I was working in there, they worked me back and they said that if they had got my same income tax at the time, they would have come after that little bit of restitution. And I went to my caseworker and I got a grant out from him. I paid into that fund 10% of what I made, and it was $820. So I wrote to courts and I said, hey, I got an idea here. Why don't you tell them to give my $820 back and I'll pay you the money? I said, it would be about them. I said, I've already paid that. I paid $820 into that fund.
And where did you pay the $812? To which fund?
To the victim's health fund, which then eliminated where it covered my restitution.
Okay. Yeah, it's just not clear. It's in your sentencing document that you owe, but it's a very small amount, and it's probably the amount that was taken the day of the robbery. $50.46, yeah. And then $30 to somebody else, but it doesn't specify.
As far as my senior three told me, he said that should have been paid with that $820 they took out of me.
And maybe it was. It just we don't have anything current. It may already have been paid. And then the other thing I wanted to ask you, sir, is when is the last time you used meth?
When I was in Alabama.
So it was that day around that time?
I have not touched it since that day.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. We're coming toward the end of your hearing, sir, and I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement before the board makes its decision. Is there anything else you'd like to the board to know without repeating something you've already told us, sir?
I'm tired. I'm an old man. I don't see. I've got a bad leg, or I've got a bad knee and a bad ankle, or I've got special order needs, or I can't do this and I can't do that. I don't really see where anybody would consider me any kind of a threat out there. I'm tired. I want to go home now. That's about all I got to say.
Okay, sir. Well, thank you. The board is going to go into discussion, Mr. Conlon, and we do all of our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law, so we haven't talked about your case before right now. So we just ask that you and your visitors just remain silent, listen to the discussion, and we'll be back with you very shortly.
All right.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Conlon. The board is now in discussion. Mr. Conlon is an interesting person who made a big mistake about 30 years ago and has been in prison all that time, really doesn't remember committing the crime, and if he doesn't remember, he doesn't remember. The crime did involve the Circle K robbery. He explained he was kind of in mental anguish because he had just divorced and lost his daughters. He did get somehow three majors in 2016, and I just cannot figure out what those would be about. We don't have any information in the packet here. But it's an interesting series of events because they occur so close to each other. So the three instances all occur within like a 2-week period, which just makes me kind of wonder. He does appear to have very good support. His friends are here. His friends are volunteering to have him live with him if he were to be paroled. I'll just start the discussion with that and see what NFL board members have to say about this. Mr. Quinones?
I'm of the position that he's really seeing light at the end of the tunnel right now, and I'm considering as one voting board member whether or not a supervised transition might be in order.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Johnson? Always turn that corner. That is a little concerning, but you did kind of explain how you wind up with those tickets all of a sudden, all at one time, and he does have good support that's here with him to give him some support if he was released out. I think I would be supportive of Mr. Collins being released out on home arrest.
Any other thoughts?
Well, I guess I would reluctantly go along with my distinguished colleagues. I do. There's some things I don't quite understand, but I think that he's, as you say, he's 66 years of age, which is still young. He's still a young man. He still has a long ways to go, but with support coming from his friends and really his family, and if he was on home arrest, and at least he was still going to be supervised, and that's the only reason that I'm going along with it. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, sir. And, you know, just with Mr. Quinones.
I was just going to add to that, this is a pretty unique totality, and you know, maybe it was a different case. I might be looking at it differently, but I think it comes down to whether or not we can safely transition him back to the community, and I think we can do that through home arrest.
Right. We need to remember there were victims in this crime. So someone was terrified in a Circle K robbery.
And no one was murdered.
And no one was murdered. But someone was terrified. And that's not a good thing. And I'm just like you all, I'm scratching my head over the three majors in 2016, going, what was that about? And just the fact that Mr. Conlon just can't remember anything about the crime, I'm a little, kind of makes me a little wondering. But any further comments? Any other comments? All right, then I'm going to make a motion that that we grant home arrest and deny absolute discharge or general parole to Mr. Conlon.
Second.
Agreed. I'm going to agree, but I would want you to ask the question of Mr. Conley and all his supporters of whether they would be in a position to give him financially.
Okay, did I get agree from everybody? Okay. Oh, wait, you seconded.
Yes.
I should probably write this down before I forget. Seconded by Mr. Johnson. Okay. So we do have some questions then for the Grays, and that is the Department of Corrections requires that when Mr. Conlon or when anyone is given home arrest, that there's 2 months' worth of expenses are on the books somewhere. That somebody is willing to support, 2 months of expenses. And then the other thing is there's a $65 a month supervision fee that starts after 60 days. Out, and I just need to verify that those would be able to be taken care of. Okay, so the Grays admit or are saying that they would be able to do that. The other thing is we would need an address for home arrest. Of course, I'm going to check. These are conditions of release. Follow all mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions. Clearly no alcohol use. Random tests for drugs and alcohol. I'm going to say may not operate a motor vehicle, and the only reason is cars have really changed since the last time. I'm sure Mr. Conlon drove a car, and the parole officer can, assess whether that's going to be okay after a certain amount of time, but not until the parole officer agrees. I'm going to check must pay restitution, but that's mostly so you can just check out and make sure that there isn't any, that it's been taken care of. I suspect that's probably been taken care of. I'll say abide by institutional rules, or take in available programming as directed, and a supervision fee of $65 a month, and that's after 60 days. The other thing is we have to provide for home arrest an address where the parole officer will come out and investigate and make sure there's not a problem. So what would be the address?
Ms. 10-10. Sorry. Can I just ask a question,
yes,
to Ms. Rittenhouse?
Please.
I thought I heard him say that they met him when their son
in prison,
in prison. And I'm not sure if the son is living there, if they would still be in.
No, he's in Minnesota.
Okay.
Okay.
Hasn't been there for years.
Okay. All right. So it's 1010.
That's the address is 1010-3.
Okay.
North 95th Drive, yes. Apartment A, is the duplex. Apartment A, Peoria, Arizona 85345, 6276.
Got it. Okay, so the other thing I just want to caution Mr. Conlon about, and is that is, this would be for home arrest, which means in home arrest you're technically still in prison. It's just that you're living in a house instead. So it's very strict. You'll have an ankle monitor, yeah, and you'll have to submit an itinerary each week to your parole officer, and there's a curfew, and I think based on what Mrs. Gray said, I don't think it'll be a problem, but you'll have to really observe those and really follow these conditions very closely. Make sure you pay attention to things that your parole officer asks for, because you're still technically on inmate status on home arrest. Okay, Mr. Conlon, do you have any questions?
How long will home arrest go until I know my general parole?
In about 6 months or so, you'll come back before the board, this board. Only you'll be here in this room now. And then we'll hear you again. Sometimes it's extended another 6 months, sometimes not. So it just depends on what's happened. The other thing, sir, is this would not take effect until September.
No, September, yeah.
So in the meantime, that's based on things being the way they are today. One of the things that I know our board chairman always likes to bring up is that you might not want to mention this to other people, because sometimes people get a little jealous and try to get you in some kind of trouble or make you do something you don't want to do. So make sure that you're toeing the line and that you're I would just kind of be quiet. You can say you had a board hearing today, and that's all you're going to say. Rather than to tell people that you're going home. So, okay, sir. Do you have any other questions?
I have one.
Okay. All right, Mr. Conlon. Thank you. Mr. Gray does have a question. Mr. Gray.
If we can get him back into making feed craft, can we take him up to Prescott
it'll be totally up to your parole officer.
Yeah.
So that would be, and it could be that maybe for the first 6 months, when somebody's been in prison that long, it's kind of hard to get out and have things are so different here than when we, you know, when he first went in. So it'll be up to the parole officer, maybe not at first, but maybe later it'll be okay for a special thing. But that you'll have to, he kind of has to build a rapport and a trust with his parole officer, and then you can see about things like that. And Mr. Gray?
Will he need to have permission every Sunday to be able to go to church?
He will submit a weekly itinerary, and it'll tell exactly, I'm leaving the house at 10, and I'll be back at 11:30, and those must be followed.
Always.
So, all right. Thank you both so very much for being such a good friend to him. And Mr. Conlon, this concludes your hearing. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.